Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours today. We've got 3 hours of interviews. I'm going to introduce you to the first interview in a minute. The second one, we're going to hear all about Mont Delancey. We've got one of the volunteers from there coming us to tell us all about it, because very often these things that are in our own backyard, we go off and visit other places, but we don't necessarily do that. And in the third one, we're going to talk about a family story. So great 3 hours of interviews this afternoon. But first of all, it's my absolute pleasure to introduce Aaron Violi, and he's one of our local MPs. So first of all, welcome, Aaron.
Hello, Alan. Great to be here.
Great to have you too. Aaron, before we get started, and I know we're going to talk quite a bit about the community as we go on and community events that are on now and coming up or have been, but first of all, like, you're still a relative young guy, so can I just ask you, did you go straight from university into working in the political system, or did you have a job outside?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I had a job outside of politics. I went to university, and then when I finished university, I actually went to work at a local company called Yarra Valley Snack Foods.
Oh, yeah.
Based in Lilydale.
Yep.
So I was there for about 7 or 8 years, and then my time there leading the sales team, went to Mars Australia. So I was working in the confectionery side of the business, selling Mars bars and Snickers.
Yeah, yep.
And then left there to go to work for a tech company. Works for a Canadian tech startup and looked after their Asia Pacific business. Although my son, who's now 10, was probably about five at the time that I left Mars, still hasn't forgiven me from of leaving the place where you sell chocolate bars.
But, all right, so let me just ask you this, Aaron. I don't want to get political, as you know.
Yep.
But what possessed a relatively young man with a young family to think, I want to get into politics? To be honest, I couldn't have any worse. But obviously you don't. What was there a tipping point where something happened and you thought, I've got to try and make this better?
Yeah, there's a few tipping points, but I've always had an interest and a passion for politics. I studied it at university. My mum loves to tell the story of me being in about grade 2 or 3, homesick from school, growing up in Yarra Glen, and I was entranced watching Question Time. which is not normal for a... I don't think my kids would do that now. So I've always had this interest, studied it, but went into the corporate world, and it was actually my mum, looking back... She ran a bus campaign in Yarra Glen to make sure that students that were, without going into too much detail, we went to Mount Lilydale, my brothers and sister and myself, and there was a move to move the Mount Lilydale students from Yarra Glen and Hillsville from the free bus to a paid bus, which a single mum, 5 kids, wasn't really viable for us. So she ran a campaign to make sure that those students could still get the free bus. And that was, you know, one of the first times I saw that a local passionate campaign can make a difference, and that really reminded me of the difference that politics can make. And then working through business, got to work as a volunteer with Cindy McLeish and Tony Smith and Christine Fife, who was the state member at the time, and seeing the difference they could make to our community was that real the passion was already there, and that sort of just stoked the fire. And it wasn't until Tony announced his retirement in 2021 that I decided to put my hand up, because so many things need to align. But, you know, living through COVID and some of the challenges we had locally, the storms in June 21, I was like, I felt like I could make a difference, and I passionately believed that our community needed a representative at all levels, but particularly at the federal level, that lived in the community, had spent their life in the community, was engaged with the community. And I've always said that I never wanted to be a member of parliament. I always wanted to be the member for Casey, because this is my home, it's my family's home, it's where my family have been since the 50s.
But I believe outside of politics, you've got a real interest in sport.
Yes, a big passion for sport. I'm a mad Collingwood Football Club fan, which is, I'm enjoying... Oh, no, Alan, no. Yes, it's dangerous territory. I do find that, you know, people appreciate the authenticity that I am mad Collingwood. Some people, even those that hate Collingwood, at least appreciate I'm passionate about it. So I'm enjoying the premiership. But outside of that, a real passion for community sports. I played, we're based here with the studios in Hillsville now. I played for over 20 years or closer to 30 years now at the Hillsville Cricket Club. I was playing at Hillsville Cricket Club up until getting pre-selected, and time didn't allow me to keep playing. Played soccer and some local football at a really poor level. So yeah, I've had a passion for sport and also community sport, been on committees and seen the impact that sport has on young people and on communities and things like that.
And to be honest, we do need the kids to get involved in more sport, don't we? The way it is at the very moment is that too many of them get onto the iPads and all the sorts of things that happen, and they just don't get the exercise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough battle for parents, and I'm one myself with an 8 and 10 year old of getting children off iPads and screen time, and COVID exacerbated that, and we all had that situation where we probably gave them more screen time than we would have liked, but we were in our houses, and sport does that. It takes the kids away from the screens, but it builds so many values around teamwork, working with others, taking feedback, and I've seen it myself. Kids learn, grow, and you know, even for kids to learn that it's okay to lose, and then you can go to practice and get better, and then you can improve, and that's a life lesson that kids need, I believe, and that's why I'm so passionate about community sport, and you don't realise until you need them, but if you're down on your luck, no one rallies like a community or a sports club. Yeah, they come together, and I've unfortunately had friends and sport teammates, you know, have houses burned down, cancer diagnosis, and what you see is, and it's not exclusively to sport, many community groups do this, but to see the community rally around and have a network is what makes them so special.
All right, we're going to take a brick break, and then we're going to come back and start talking about community.
There's something in the way you roll your eyes. Takes me back to a better time. When I saw everything is good. But now you're the only thing that's good. Trying to stand up on my own two feet. This conversation ain't coming easily. And darling, I know it's getting late. So what do you say we leave this place? Walk me home in the dead of night. I can't be alone with all that's on my mind. So say you'll stay with me tonight. Cause there is so much wrong going on outside. There's something in the way. That's on my mind. Say you'll stay with me tonight. Cause there is so much wrong going on. Walk me home in the dead of night. I can't be alone with all that's on my mind. Say you'll stay with me tonight. Cause there is so much wrong. There is so
welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Aaron Violi, and we're talked a little bit about himself, but now it's time to start talking about some of the things that are going on. And I know he listens to this program and also the ones that listen to me on a Sunday. Now, I'm a mad keen car buff. I absolutely love cars, the old cars, not so much the new stuff, but the old one. And I would have been going tonight to the Wandon Car Show, but unfortunately something's come up my car, but I'm going to be there next month. But I believe, Aaron, you're going tonight.
Yes, Alan, I'll be there tonight. I'm going to be on the barbecue supporting the Wandon CFA, so I'll turn a few snags for a little while. And I was there last month as well to celebrate the opening of the season, so to speak. And, there was a long crowd getting sausages and hamburgers.
Always is,
and it was wonderful to see everyone back out enjoying the car. So you see the passion that people have for their cars and the amount of time and effort that they put into it is quite amazing. So
there's millions of dollars worth of cars there.
Very expensive machines, that's for sure. I'm a little bit like you. I'm a bit, you know, nostalgic for the older cars, and the old saying, they don't make them like they used to. But it's an important community event. I know Wandon Rotary, it's a significant fundraiser for the Royal Children's Hospital. Yeah. $18,000, I believe, last season that was donated. And the Wandon CFA, the Seville CFA, benefit as well by making some money. So it's a great example of people's passions and interests in the community coming together to help each other.
And I was just going to say that it's a community helping the community, because you're not only having a good night, but A, the money's going to Children's Hospital for getting in the gate, and the guys that own the cars pay. And also then, as you say, the CFA and all that, they get some money out of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot of these amazing events all through our community. I know you're gonna talk later on to Montalanti, another amazing organisation. And what's amazing for me and inspires me a lot is how these groups come together to give back, but also help other groups. But ultimately, it's providing a low cost, enjoyable experience for families. And you see mums and dads with their kids, and the kids are mesmerised by everything. It's a great night out. And let's be honest, it's pretty tough at the moment from a cost of living perspective. And we talked about screen time before. It's another great way for families to spend time together, enjoy themselves in a relatively low-cost environment.
And I'm not sure, because the only time I've ever been there, I've been with an old car. But I think it's only a couple of dollars to get in, isn't it? Like, it's not a very expensive night at all.
Gold coin donation to the hospital, and I think and it can be. I was there the other week when I was coming in. You know, a family of five or six with a couple, you know, kids and mum and dad, and they had a gold coin donation. So it's really token. And people, in saying that could give more, were being really generous, because people understand it's for an important cause. So yeah, it's a great night out.
And we should also mention that it's the second last one, because it's tonight and next month, March, it finishes till about November.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so if you haven't got any plans tonight, get out and have a look, or look to go in March. As I said, it's it goes very quickly the because of summer, and touch wood, the weather will be good for the event. It's going to be warm tonight. It was perfect weather last time. Yep. So, yeah, it's worth going to see it tonight or in March, because, it'll be gone for another season, and we'll be into the cold of winter before we know it.
And you wouldn't get the guys with the old cars out.
No, you can't get the cars out in the rain and the mud. They'd get bogged out there at Wandon East.
Well, apart from that, the guys won't take them out.
No, that's true. You've got to look after them.
All right, so look, we've just got to take another quick break. But Aaron's been talking about the CFA, and we're really keen to talk about the CFA in a minute, as soon as we've done what we've got to do. But again, I just want to remind everybody that these CFA people, like, about turning sausages tonight, they don't get paid for that. But if they get a call at 2 a.m, they'll be out again fighting a fire. And some of them, when we had, and we're going to talk about storm recovery in the next bracket, some of those work about 2 days, and then have to go to work. I mean, they don't get paid, and they still have to work.
Yeah, absolutely. We won't go into it too much, but I'll say I agree, Alan. They're amazing people, the CFA and SES volunteers that go out at all hours to serve the community.
Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the CFA and storm recovery.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. That'll be the day. When you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave me. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when Darling, Cupid shot his dart. He shot at your heart. So if we ever part, you kiss and hold me and just tell me boldly, well,
that'll be the day.
Listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where the time is 29 minutes past 12 and outside it's now 30 degrees. We're going for 32. I suspect if it's 30 at this stage of the game at about half past 12, we might even get over the 32. But anyway, we're not here to talk about weather. We're talking to Aaron. Aaron, we were talking about the Wandon Car Show and I think it's a great night. But anyway, let's not dwell on that. But the CFA, and I mean, they've been, and I guess when we talk about the CFA, we should be talking about the SES as well. I mean, these guys are out all night, and then we tend to forget that most of these are volunteers who have to get up the next day and go to work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we're very fortunate and very lucky to have volunteers, men and women that give up their time to support the community, keep them safe. And it's at all hours. It's the middle of the night. And we need to remember that they're seeing, you know, some pretty traumatic experiences. I was at the Hillsville SES recently and talking to the volunteers there after the storms and the flooding that we had in early January. And, you know, they'd been out for sort of 24, 36, 48 hours in some cases, you know, soaked to the bone, not stopping for lunch or food. But as part of that conversation, they were talking about some of the terrible accidents that we've had along the Hillsville Coldstream Road recently. Yep. And what they've had to experience and witness. And they, again, they're doing that for free. The CFA putting their life on the line with fighting fires. And, you know, Black Saturday still lives with us all. And they were out for weeks and months afterwards. Yep. Cleaning up and keeping us safe. So the more we can do as not just parliamentarians, but as community, to thank them. I know they appreciate financial support, but also moral support. If people are interested in volunteering, every SES and CFA that I speak to says that everyone that signs up gets more out of it, they feel, than they put in, and it is a great way to make new friends and new connections.
And particularly during the fires, and the storms a while ago, not this particular lot of storms, some of those guys used up their whole annual leave. Like, the rest, they never got another holiday for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's a great point, Alan, and there's a couple of sort of challenges around this that I think about a lot as a member of parliament, around what more we can do to support these volunteers, because you're right, they're in many cases giving up their annual leave, so they're incurring a financial penalty to keep the community safe,
and their families are paying
for it. Another thing I've spoken about in parliament, and we talked about Wandon CFA turning sausages, most of the volunteers join to fight fires and to, yep, you know, storm recovery and be out doing that work. But they spend a lot of time fundraising, whether it's Bunnings, barbecues, the Wandon, other events like that. So what are some ways at a governmental level we can support them with their capital works, their tanks, and, you know, our police and ambulance rightly don't have to fundraise. And we've got the MFB and or Fire Rescue Victoria. And I think it's really important to note that our volunteer cohort is so important. It's surge capacity and they want to be volunteers, so we need to support their volunteer work. I think volunteers are crucial, but what are some of the other things around their buildings and their infrastructure and their equipment we can invest in as governments to ensure that they're as safe as possible and they can get out to these incidents as quickly as possible? Yeah.
Take another quick break and we're back with more.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
Mambo
in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really value my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fine, it's all good. Let me jump in, please sing in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man. Jump up and down and move it all around. Shake your hand to the sound, put your hands on the ground. Take one step left and one step right. One to the front and one to the side. Clap your hands once and clap your hands twice. And if it looks like this, then you're doing it. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man.
Aaron, I was saying to you before we took that break that I've got Barbara from Montelancy to come in. Now, Montelancy is a terrific place, and I guarantee quite a few of the people around here won't have been there, but there's a whole lot more places other than as well as Montelancy, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely, and I've been out to Montelancy quite a few times. Amazing organisation, looking at our history and heritage, and I won't steal Barbara's thunder. She'll do it better justice than I will, but, I mean, I was recently at Gulf Station in Yarra Glen, which is a very similar setup and one of the original settler farms. And it was nostalgic for two reasons for me when I went back for a tour. Growing up in Yarra Glen, we used to go to Gulf Station when I was at school. So there was a little bit of the primary school nostalgia, but also it's a really important reminder. It's very fascinating, interesting, particularly for younger children, but also for all of us to think about where we've been as a community and where we go to. And you touched on it before, and for all the listeners, it's worth visiting Montelancy or Gulf Station. Another one is the Yarra Valley Railway in Healesville.
I can hear them on a Sunday. Yeah, I can hear it toot as it comes into the station.
And it's a volunteer organisation. Again, another low-cost entertainment for the family. And you think about these amazing organisations and tourist experiences we have in the Yarra Valley, that people are coming from overseas and hours away to see them, and we sometimes forget we've got them in our own backyard. So they're three that really come to mind. And what I like about them all is it's a combination of it's a fun day for the kids, but it's a nice chance to slow down and reflect on where we've been and I guess almost where we're going as a society as well and how much it's changed in 50 to 100 years.
And there's places like the Redwood Forest, which costs you nothing.
Yes.
You can have a day out. And so, I mean, all these other organisations are very cheap to go to anyway, but you can even do better than that. You can go to some of these things for nothing.
Redwood Forest. I think another one, and I'm thinking Hillsville because I know we're going across the Upper Yarra and the Yarra Valley, but we are physically in Hillsville for the broadcast. I mean, Maroondah Dam's another one. Yes. Where you've got, you know, the parks there, the walk-in, Badger Creek Weir. There's so many amazing free areas we can get entertainment and it's a bit more expensive, but I think of something like Hillsville Sanctuary, like a world-class animal sanctuary on our doorstep. And you've got Four Pillars, many other sort of wineries and gin distilleries. We're spoiled for choice in the Yarra Valley, and your point, Alan, that we can sometimes take that for granted is something we should all think about.
It's very easy to do that. It's very easy to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, we've got 2 or 3 hours or an afternoon, we'll head down towards the city, we'll do this, we'll do that, without sort of thinking about, well, hang on, it's only 10 minutes down the road to Hillsville Sanctuary. If you live in Hillsville, it's less than 10 minutes.
Correct.
Even if you're in Warrialik, our old spot.
Old spot in Warrialik, yeah.
About 20 minutes and you're there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other amazing sort of events that we have quite regularly is the markets, whether it's the Yarra Valley Regional Food Group Farmers Market, the market out at the Yarra Glen Racecourse. Most communities, Montrose, over to the Dandenongs and up to the, you know, I was in Warburton last Saturday morning for the Eastern 80 opening a bike charity ride there, and Millgrove had the market on. So there's lots of great markets where you can pick up a bargain or try some local food and produce, and again, something we sometimes take for granted, having so many options.
And something else we haven't mentioned is the let me get the wording right, but it's a museum in Yarra Junction.
Oh, yes, yeah, I know the one you're talking about, I've gone blank on it. We drive past it all the time, Alan. You'll have to find the notes. It is an example of we're spoiled for choice, that's for sure.
Upper Yarra Museum, which is run by the Upper Yarra Historical Society.
Yeah, Ben, there you go. So we're very lucky. We're going to forget someone, but I know Lilydale have got the Historical Society there, and they do a lot of great work. They've got the old courthouse that's also open. And
I've actually interviewed them.
Oh, you have, yeah.
I've had somebody in from there. So if anybody's listening and they want to hear more about it, just go to our website on the left-hand side podcast. Then look up, and I think it's My Smiling Face. Underneath that, hit Community Connections and go way, way back, and there'll be an interview with them there too.
Lots of choices. I mean, now I'm thinking of the Yarra Valley Regional Museum. Lots of galleries as well. Tarawarra Estate, the Beeson family have got Tarawarra Estate, which is another place that you go relatively low cost and see world-class art. So we could spend another couple of hours listing all these opportunities. But yes, but it's I think the point you made, Alan, is it's a great reminder of what we've got. And what's also important is by visiting local, you're supporting local businesses, local employment. You know, I started in hospitality in the Yarra Valley. Lots of young people get their first chance. And without this tourism ecosystem, a lot of young people wouldn't have the opportunities they would. So support local where you can.
And let's be honest, a lot of those businesses hurt badly over COVID, and they still haven't got back to where they were.
Yeah, they've been doing it very tough, local businesses, particularly, the borders have reopened, but there's still not as much travel as we had previously. And a lot of people, for 2 years, were doing a lot of travel within Victoria because they couldn't go anywhere else. Yeah. And they're now sort of feeling like, well, I've been to Victoria for 2 years. I want to expand interstate and overseas. So it's still tough for businesses. And we've been doing some work around making sure we're engaging with small business. And I've been visiting lots of coffee houses and cafes across the area.
As long as you didn't get a drink everywhere.
Through a social media campaign asking people to let me know their best cafes. And I am a big coffee drinker, so it helps. But we've been visiting local businesses, which has been good because it's one, supporting them but also getting a chance to speak to the owners about some of the challenges that they have has been really beneficial for me as an elected official, not to forget some of the challenges, but they always employ locals, so that's why it's so important we support local.
Got to take a quick break, Aaron. We'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to Aaron Violi. Aaron, we've been touching on a lot of different groups that exist in the area. We've talked about arts and we've talked about the railways and car clubs and all sorts of stuff. But one of the things that I'd like to talk to you a little bit about is the sporting clubs and also the part of the volunteer in the sporting clubs.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think it's really important we acknowledge all the sporting clubs, you know, football, netball, cricket, tennis, bowls, many others.
Tennis,
yeah, all volunteer organisations. I've served prior to politics on some committees, and it's very much, particularly for the president, but all the committee, it's second job. They do a lot of work, and we talked previously about the benefits of sport, and we wouldn't have that without those volunteers. So it's important we acknowledge and thank them, but also a bit of a shout-out. If people are at home and thinking about they've got a bit of time on their hand, even if you don't have a connection with a sporting club, don't be afraid to knock on the door and introduce yourself, because I know for a fact that not just sporting clubs, but every community group is struggling for volunteers at the moment post-COVID. So whether it's you've got a passion for sport, you know, cars, as we talked about before, if you're at home and you're thinking, oh, well, I've got some spare time and I'd like to help out, I guarantee if you knock on the door of any community organisation, they will welcome you with open arms.
Aaron, one of the things that I've talked about on this program for about the last 6 years is social isolation. And I've read a number of reports, and I'm going to ask you your opinion on this, but they're saying that social isolation, unless we're very careful, will become the biggest killer in the few years to come, that because people, although they're so connected with iPhones and iPads and all that jazz, but they're not actually meeting with people. And is it true that if you're not being part of a community, then you're going to go downhill fairly fast, aren't you?
Yeah, you're right, Alan, and it's something I'm concerned about and conscious of, and I think COVID exacerbated that, and you know we had to do what we needed to do for health reasons, and we won't relive that time. But there was a lot of people that stayed home. Some unfortunately still aren't comfortable coming out, and others have been sort of don't know how to come back out into the community because it is quite challenging. But yeah, I agree. What it's reminded us of is the importance of social connection and human connection, and that can't be replaced by a screen or by a phone call. And it's sometimes, and I feel very lucky in this job that I get to go to amazing community groups and be welcomed in and see people, and that's one of the great parts of the job. But we can never underestimate the power of conversation, and without giving away too much detail, I reconnected. One of the great things being local is you talk to many people I meet for the first time, but many are people that I've grown up with, went to school with, and reconnecting with them, and spoke to someone that I was involved in a community organisation with, and we had quite a deep conversation about some of their challenges, and it happened organically, but it was a reminder of this connection we'd built at a previous club was rekindled, and they felt comfortable to share. And sometimes it's the conversation after training or after an AGM where you can actually talk about how you're feeling. And I think we underestimate the importance of that. So, you know, I agree, Alan, and the more people can do to feel comfortable going out and talking, we're going to be in a good place.
And the other thing too, I've interviewed many times the Hillsville U3A and organisations like that, because that's what I'm here for, to talk about to the community about what's going on. But one of the things that it's not only the time that you're at U3A or when you're down working in the canteen at the cricket club or the football club, it's when you go down the street, you know, you all of a sudden, you know, a whole lot more people from the club. And it's the interaction with those people. And I know some people tell me, oh, I used to go down the street and I'd be home in half an hour. Now it can be 2 hours because I meet someone and then I talk and then we go to coffee. But that's the sort of thing that we need to do to overcome social isolation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's that flow-on effect. And, on Monday this week, actually, I was in Belgrave and visited the Storm Recovery Hub, and I was talking to Orange Sky, which are the volunteers that have mobile, they do washing and things like that for homeless people, but also help in emergencies. It was great. And at the end of that, I said to the volunteers, oh, thank you for what you do. And they said, oh, you don't need to thank us. We get more out of this than we put in. And and there was the dual benefit to what you said, Alan. They talked about how the sense of satisfaction they feel on helping people, but you could see the four ladies that were there have built a really strong social bond and friendship with each other, and they catch up outside of Orange Sky. And as you said, whether it's U3A, sporting clubs, once you see that familiar face, and sometimes you stop for a coffee, but never underestimate walking down the street and just smiling and saying hello to someone that you know. It makes you more connected, and it is something we need to continue to foster. Ultimately, it is quite organic, and people have to be prepared to put themselves out there. But I also know in my role, we've got a role to play as governments to how can we continue to support, you know, infrastructure for sporting clubs. Look at, say, Wandon as an example, and they got new club rooms 3 or 4 years ago. And that in many ways has transformed the way the community connects, and now Rotary's at the same building as the footy club and the cricket club. Right. And now there's members, younger members of the footy club committee have joined the Wandon Rotary, and so they spend more time together and build that community connection. And it's all because, well, it's not all because of the facility, but the facility has amplified this amazing community spirit.
Glad you mentioned Wandon. I had Izzy in, the very last interview I did last year was the funniest one I ever did, and that was with Father Christmas. But prior to that, we had Izzy in, and he's the coach of the women's football down at Wandon. They are struggling for players. So if there's any ladies listening, or it may be your daughter or whoever, I'd go down and talk to the Wandon Football Club, because I know they are... maybe they're looking for men as well. I don't know, but Izzy was just involved with the ladies and he was particularly saying that they are looking for more players.
Yeah, a lot of sporting clubs, there's been an amazing growth in women's sport, and you know, we've seen soccer, and I've got an eight-year-old daughter. She's Matilda's obsessed.
Is she?
Yeah, she's not sure who she loves more, Sam Kerr or Taylor Swift. That's her. That's the big...
I was just going to ask you, I don't want to cut across you, but I was just going to say, because you have spoken about your daughter a couple of times, was she mad keen on Taylor Swift?
Mad keen. I don't think she's forgiven me for not getting her tickets, but, you know, she's eight. She can learn. But, yeah, she's... it's the biggest challenge she has in life is she going to read her Sam Kerr book or her Taylor Swift book? But she's obsessed with the Matildas, and it's a really important example of where we've progressed as a society. As an eight-year-old female, she knows nothing other than elite women's sport, which is amazing. So she wants to be a Matilda. I mean, when I grew up, if you were a female athlete, you played with the men for a couple of years, and I played with some female athletes locally that got to about 14 or 15 and had to stop. And so there is a big growth in women's sport. It puts pressure on our facilities. Yep. So there's work we need to do around infrastructure. But to the point around Izzy at Wandon Footy Club, and I've been to a lot of footy clubs and soccer clubs and cricket clubs, the women's teams are so welcoming. And to be honest, if you're thinking of playing, most of the women obviously have never played before, so there's no skill level requirement. You can get in and learn, and look, there's some really good players
learning
together. Yep. So don't be afraid to put your hand up. And I know I know how much I benefited from sport. I've feels good that my daughter and other women can have the same opportunity, because we've got to acknowledge that historically it wasn't as strong as it is and what it can be. And it's
basically a lot of women never got the opportunity to play football, did they? They just didn't.
And as I said, I'm biased because it played such a big role in my upbringing, but I think community groups, sporting clubs, nothing beats them. So, you know, the mums and daughters can feel more connected, and female athletes have somewhere to call home. It's a great thing.
I guess the other thing is too, we all need to keep fit. I need to lose a bit of weight. But, I mean, there's not everybody wants to run around the block every night or do that. But have a social action on a football field or whatever... and get exercise. You're getting exercise without even trying, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's the best of everything. You'll run a lot harder and a lot more in an hour training session than you would if you're on the treadmill, and you won't get bored. And there's the banter. And I know we're coming up to the end, Alan. But I do, you know, have to give a quick shout out. It's getting to the end of February, start of March, which means all the cricket finals are starting. So I know a lot of local clubs, including my old club at Hillsville, are going to be in finals. So wishing all the teams in cricket and other sports, bowls as well, good luck. And footy seasons are on the doorstep. So
we'll see, the AFL starts in about just over a week and a half or something.
Yeah, practice matches are on. There was a Collingwood practice match on today. Oh, I don't know the score yet, but
I should have cut you off when you talk about Collingwood.
It's all starting, so it's not too late to sign up for a season of cricket or basketball, football or basketball or things like that. So get involved.
Aaron, look, unfortunately I've got to go. The 12 o'clock, the 1 o'clock news is fast upon us. Thank you for giving us your time. We've covered a lot of topics, and I think community is what it's all about. And that's why I'm here, and that's why it was great to have you to come in and tell us a bit what's going on. And I wish you well.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the time.
No worries. Thank you.